and how the Lord would challenge us today. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 1. Everybody there say a good amen. Amen. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 1. Brothers and sisters, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore them in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Holy Spirit, speak to us today. Holy Spirit, come and move in the rest of this service, Lord. We just ask you to speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, Lord. We just pray that this word would be real, that it would be relevant, that it would speak to us in the season that we're in right now. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, the great apostle Paul is writing this book, Galatians, to the church. And he is saying to the church, if you see someone that is caught up in some sort of transgression, if you see someone in the church, if you see someone that you love, if you see someone that you have a relationship with and they're caught up in some kind of sin, he says, you need to go talk to them. You need to be real. You need to be transparent. You need to be honest. You don't need to be worried about somebody getting booty hurt, about somebody getting upset, about stepping on somebody's toes, because how many of you know, we as born-again believers know that the wages of sin are death. That sin, sooner or later, if it comes into your life or if it comes into my life, it will ultimately lead to death. And Paul is saying, as a mature spiritual Christian, wake up, open your eyes, look around at the people you love, and if they get caught up in sin, go and talk to them about it. Y'all got quiet, didn't you? Nobody better talk to me about my sin. This is my sin. This is between me and the Lord. I don't need you. No, how many of you know we need each other in our lives? We need some people to be real and to be honest. And Paul said, if you see someone that gets caught up in sin, if they get caught, if they're in this trap, how many of you know the enemy has set traps for you and I to step into? It's just the truth. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care. Let me get the other mic. Which one? Tubby? Don't boss me. You ain't my boss up at church. I'm teasing. So here's the deal. People get caught in traps all the time. If we're really honest and if we are absolutely telling the truth, the enemy is out there. The enemy is real. It's not some patty cake game that we're playing. Church is not some social event that we do. Church is not just a place where we come to hear a cool worship band sing some cool songs. It's a place where we come to be spiritually empowered and to meet with an almighty God who is our champion, who will bring victory in our lives, because the other 6 days of the week, the enemy is out there setting traps and landmines and trying to steal, kill, and destroy from you and I, from our marriages, from our finances, and from our families. Come on, somebody. He sets these traps, and you got to know that. You got to look at me. Look. You got to know. Can I tell you something today? You got to know the enemy's got some traps set for you. You got to know that. And he uses bait. Satan is very, very smart. He's baiting you in to stepping into his traps. Now, let's be honest. My bait may be different than your bait. And your bait may be different than your spouse, and your bait may be different than your brothers and sisters, but the enemy is smart. See, how many of you know Jesus called us to be fishers of men? And how many of you have been fishing? Let me see you raise your hands. Sometimes, you know, when you're fishing for catfish, you have to use a little bit different bait than when you're fishing for bass. And if you're fishing for crappie, you have to use a little bit different bait than you are when you're fishing for bass. The enemy is smart, and the enemy knows that I might throw you a worm, Will Clay, and you might jump at that Berkeley power worm that smells like you know what. You may jump at it, but I may come over here, and Tina, he may throw out some stink bait to you because you look stinky right back at Tina Lamb. Let me clarify who I'm talking to back there. So the enemy knows. He is smart, he's clever, and he knows what kind of bait he can throw out there for you and I that will look good to us, that will appeal to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The enemy is setting those things out there for you and I. And for some of us, he's throwing out the bait of sex.
You're unmarried. You're single. You're in college, and sex looks good, and pornography is big, and the enemy's just throwing sex out there, throwing sex out there, throwing sex out there. Some of you, you just have a problem with anger. You have a problem with rage. Rage rises up every time something doesn't go your way or somebody doesn't perform the way that you want to, and the enemy's just throwing it out there going, take a hold of it, get a hold, get angry, get mad. They shouldn't have done that to you. Some of us, it's pride. Some of us, we're so jealous of everybody else. Some of us, the enemy is throwing out the bait of selfishness. I deserve this. This is what I need. I'm good. The enemy's throwing bait out there, and he's trying to get you and I in his trap. Because when he gets you and I in his trap, he gets us caught. And when we get caught, we're caught. Come on, somebody. And I'm going to back up and read a scripture. If you were here last week, we talked about bondages. We talked about being shackled up. We talked about being caught in a trap. Because here's the deal. When we're living in the freedom of Jesus Christ, and when we're living in the freedom of the Holy Spirit, the enemy cannot touch us. He can't steal from us. He can't destroy us, because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. But when we slip, when we take the bait, and we slip into his trap, Mark 3:27 says this, but no one can enter into a strong man's house. No one. How many know you and I are strong in Christ Jesus? You may be weak within yourself, but we are strong in Christ Jesus. No one can enter into a strong man's house and steal their goods unless he first bind that strong man up. Then indeed he may plunder and steal from his house. So the enemy, we're Christians, we're washed in the blood, we're going to church, the enemy's throwing bait out there, he gets us in a trap, and when we get in a trap, tied up, tangled up, he comes in and he starts stealing from you and I, stealing from you and I. So Paul says, Christians, Paul says, born again believers in Christ, Paul says to the mature spiritually, he says, if you see someone that you love, and you see someone in the church caught in a sin or caught in a trap, you who are spiritual should go and restore them back to the kingdom of God. Wow. I love this. I've been preaching 23 years. I've never heard this message preached. I'm being honest with you. I've never heard it preached. Paul is saying, once we become mature in our spiritual walk, once we grow up and move beyond, just it's all about me and it's about my salvation, we must stop making everything about ourselves. We must stop focusing on what I'm getting and what that church has to offer me and what God is saying yes to in my life. We must focus and go, now I am a tool. Now God has saved me. Now God has changed me. Now I am going to go and help others reach their maturity level so they can stop fighting the same old demons that have kept them trapped for many years in their life. Now, once we are, we got to look around. We got to look around and see the traps and the snares that's destroying our brothers and sisters. Now, Paul said this, those that are spiritual should talk and restore others. Let's talk about that a minute. What's that word spiritual mean in the Greek? It means this. It means one who has received God's Spirit and lives in accordance with that relationship. That's how we know that we're spiritual. That's how we know that we're mature, that we have been washed in the blood, that we have been filled with the Spirit of God, and that we walk in accordance with that, that we have repented, that we no longer have the same old habits, that we have grown up, and now when people look at us, they don't see us as a baby Christian, but they see us as someone that is mature and has overcome and won some battles in our life to the glory of Almighty God. Now listen to me a second. Not all of us, look at me, look. Not all of us can go around calling people out in their sin. Not all of us can do that. Not all of us can go around holding each other accountable. Why? Because many of us are not spiritually minded. We're not spiritually mature, and I'm just telling you the truth here today. Spiritually mature because, see, Paul dealt with this when he was speaking to the church of Corinth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul deals with a church that is a little bit immature. Paul deals with a church. He deals with the church with some people that are still pretty immature in their faith. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3. Watch what Paul says. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1 through 3. But I, brothers, Paul says, I could not talk to you as spiritual people, just as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk Paul said, not solid food, for you're not ready for it. And even now you're not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? Paul says, I can't feed you any porterhouse T-bone. Come on, somebody. I can't feed you with the ribeye. I got to give you a little bit of milk because you're still spiritually immature. And so here's what you got to know. That's not a low blow. Paul's not firing shots at them. Paul's not saying you're not any good. Paul's just saying you are immature in your spiritual journey. You've only really been saved a few years. You've only really been right with God the last year. But Paul's saying some of you are a little bit immature. You're not really spiritual. And I'm going to be honest. Can I be honest with y'all today? Can I be real? Can I hear a good amen? Some of us in here today, you just need to focus on you. You need to quit worrying about everybody else because you ain't really been right for a whole long time. You just need to focus on you. You need to focus on getting your tongue under control. You need to focus on getting your emotions under control. You need to focus on getting that anger under control. You need to focus on getting set free yourself. Because Paul's saying some of us are just immature spiritually. You're still drinking meat. You need to focus on you. And can I give you a little extra? Those of you that are immature in your faith a little bit, you know what you need to do? You need to find somebody that's spiritual, and you need to find somebody that's mature, and you need to start walking and living life with them. Because let me tell you something. Can I preach to y'all today? If you're spiritually immature and you're still playing some kind of game and you're playing the grace game and I can do this on Saturday and I can do this on Sunday because God's good and you're still living the same old life and still shacking up and still getting drunk and still doing all the same things that you used to do and you're hanging out with the same kind of people, let me tell you something. You need to find some people to hang out with that have overcome and got some victory in their life. You need to hang around with some people that will raise you up and take you to the next level. Some of us just need to focus on us today. But there's others of you here. You looking at me? Look, 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 look. It's high time you quit focusing on you and you start focusing on the people around you. It's high time that you quit focusing. You've been coming to church a long, long time. The Lord's brought you from a mighty long way. It's time that you quit making it all about you. It's time that you grow up and that you mature and you quit acting like a child. It's time that you say, I am an adult, and not what can I do, not what can the church do for me, not what can God do for me, but now I have been born again. I have been washed in the blood. I am filled with the Spirit of God. What can I do for my church? What can I do for the kingdom of God? Oh, y'all real quiet, ain't you? Because the ultimate challenge in this Christian journey, the ultimate challenge is to give your life to Christ, to start growing and maturing to the point that now you can help others grow and mature in order to live a life in freedom that brings glory to Almighty God. How many of you would agree that if we all, let me just move on. Paul said, you who are spiritual, those that are mature, should help others in the spirit of gentleness. How many of you know, let me say this right quick. How, even if it's your greatest of friends that you see in sin, you got to speak to them with gentleness and grace and mercy. Because you can come at anybody like, you an idiot. What's wrong with you, you idiot sucker? You got to start gentle, okay? You got to start. Don't be overbearing. Don't be arrogant. Don't be acting like you're anybody else. Go to them in gentleness like you love them and like you're truly concerned about the sin that has caught them up and you're truly concerned about the sin that is weighing them down. You know, iron sharpens iron. And when you sharpen a knife, how many know you can start out and just sharpen it real sharp on the little fine grit diamond. The fine grit, easy. Like sooner or later, if you try them 4 or 5 times, then break out the grinder and sharpen them. But go start easy. Go to them in love and gentleness. Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear one another's burdens, pointing to the fact that it's not all about our burdens. Can we be real today, y'all? Most of the stuff that I hear, it's about your burdens. Here's what your burden is. Here's what your problem is. Everywhere we go, I'm so tired. I've just worked so hard. Everywhere we go, oh, this country. Oh, these finances. Oh, my, I can't pay this. Oh, I'm struggling. Oh, my sickness. Our burdens. And Paul's going like, okay, sometimes you got to grow up, and sometimes you got to bear one another's burdens. How many say, at some point in my life, I needed a little help carrying my stuff around? Bear one another's burdens. Are you better because someone came along and helped bear your burdens? Shouldn't we now go let me help someone else carry their burdens? Bearing one another's burdens. What does that mean? That means helping others out. It means helping them carry their load. It does not mean this. I'll carry it all for them. I see someone that's hurting, then just move out of the way and let me pick it up and I'll carry your complete burden for you. How many know that will create a welfare mentality and it will create lazy people that are dependent on everybody else and they expect more and more and more and more. And they'll never do anything for themselves. Look at our nation. Our nation says, oh, you got burdens? No, don't worry about it. Let old Uncle Joe Biden carry your burden for you. Come on, somebody. You don't have to do nothing. You just go to the mailbox. You just get your check. We'll send you something to eat. We'll send you a cell phone. Don't do nothing. Just sit there. We'll absolutely carry our burdens for you. Do not hear me wrong, and don't get upset. Welfare was a great program, and it was set up to help people carry their burdens together, not let them be lazy and dependent, and let everybody else carry it for them. And sometimes in the church, that's what we do. If I'm telling you the truth, sometimes you don't pray. Sometimes you don't read the Word of God. Sometimes you don't spend any time meditating throughout the week. And you just want to show up on Sunday and let Cody and Connor and everybody here carry the burdens for you. And as a result of it, we've become a little bit spiritually fat. And we've become a little bit spiritually lazy. And a little bit dependent on other people in our spiritual realm. Come on, somebody. Bear one another. Help one another. Carry their stuff. So we were in New Mexico this week working some cattle, and it just made me think of this, that every morning they would pack up some Topo Chico, carry it together, couldn't carry it by itself. So what would happen is one guy would get on one end, I would get on the other end, I would help them bear their burdens, and we would do that together, and that brought fulfillment to both of us. So what you and I need to do is pick up the end of somebody else's cooler. As long as it ain't got yellow can banquet beer in it, you can help them carry it. Come on, somebody. If it's got Topo Chico, help them. Help other people. Don't do it all for them. It basically means helping others, serving others. Let me ask you something. How can you help bear the burdens of your spouse? How can you help bear the burdens of your wife? How can you help bear the burdens of your husband? How can you help bear the burdens of your children? Children face tough times nowadays. They are struggling with things that we never struggle with. Help them. How can you? Are you ready for this? How can you, sons and daughters, help your parents carry the burden at their home? How can you help people that you go to church with? How can we help and serve others carry the burdens that is weighing them down? Help one another. When we help, when we hold each other accountable, when we bear each other's burdens, Paul says that we fulfill the law of Christ. We fulfill the law of Christ. Mark 12, 29 and 30. What is the law of Christ? What's the law of Christ? Mark 12, 29 through 31. Jesus answered and said, the most important commandment of all is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. And the second is this, you should love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other greater commandments than these. To fulfill the law of Christ, when you bear the burdens of others, you love God and you love other people. Love God and love others. Love God and love others. Love them by serving them. Can I say this right quick? We got to learn to serve, y'all. And I'm trying not to hang my hat right there and get on my soapbox, but we got to learn to serve. We got to learn to serve. We got to just quit sitting. We got to serve. We got to serve the people that we live with. We got to start serving in our church. We got to start serving in the community. We got to start serving at our job. A servant is the mark of a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. Jesus said he didn't come to be served, but he came to serve others. And when we just come and sit and we don't serve, we miss out on this fulfillment and this joy of being used by an almighty God to lead someone else closer to the cross of Jesus Christ. Bear their burdens. Learn to serve other people. Learn to serve other people. Paul says, you that are spiritual, restore people that are caught in a trap. Help each other out. Then he says, serve one another by loving God and loving others. And I'm going to read you this next verse. This next verse is kind of comical, really. Galatians 6, 6 through 7. I've never preached this one as well. I found it intriguing as I was studying this week. Galatians 6, 6 through 7 says, let the one who is taught the word of God, let the one who is taught share all good things with the one who teaches him. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever one sows, that will he also reap. Those that are being taught the word of God should share all good things with the ones that are teaching them the word of God. I found that really intriguing. Whoever teaches you, share with them. Share with them good things. Share with them that how God spoke to you. Share with them how that message blessed them. Share good things with the one that's teaching you the word of God, trying to raise you up to a mature level. To share all good things spiritually. Share all good things physically. Share all good things financially. Share all good things emotionally. If you have been taught the word of God, the Bible says, share all good things with the one that's teaching you. Now, let me tell you something right quick. I am not afraid to teach you that. I'm not afraid to teach you that because you know what? I'm more interested in you reaping a harvest than I am some haters coming along and saying, well, Cody's just teaching that because he wants us to bless him today. Now, I don't need you to bless me. The God's going to bless me. Come on, somebody. But here's what I'm saying. If that's the true word of God, if the word of God instructs you and I to bless and to share all good things with the one that's teaching us. I mean, you know, we should be obedient to the word of God because when we're obedient to the word of God, God always pours out a blessing in the end. Share with those. Speaking of doing good things and doing right, you ever get tired of just doing the right thing all the time? Come on, somebody. Like I'm trying my guts out and trying to do right. But you know, just don't seem like it's working for me this week. You know, I just feel like all this good stuff I'm doing is just for naught. Like nothing's happening. I just feel like nobody notices what I'm doing at all. Let me encourage you something today. Don't give up doing what's right, and don't give up honoring God, and don't give up on doing good things, because Galatians 6, 9, and 10 says, let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have an opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Don't get tired of doing good. Don't get tired of seeking God. If you give up, your answered prayer is not coming. If you give up, you're not going to get the victory in your life. But if you just stay the course, if you just keep trusting God, if you just keep doing what God has called you to do, God will always show up and the end will be better than the beginning. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up doing good. Because the promises of God, God promises, look at me, God promises to reward and to honor you and I for doing good. And how many know when God promises something, those promises come to pass? Men will promise you that the air conditioner is going to be working, and then next week the promise falls apart. But how many know God is not a man that he should lie? 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all of the promises of God in him are yes and amen to the glory of God through us. God's promises are yes and amen. 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. Don't give up. Don't quit sowing seeds. My favorite scripture. My life verse, Colossians 3:23-24. Colossians 3:23-24. Whatever you do, do it heartily. Do it with passion as you're doing it for the Lord and not for men. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance, it is the Lord Christ whom you serve. Keep doing good. Keep honoring God. Keep serving God. Keep sharpening your brother and sister. Keep sowing good seeds, and God promises that he will reward you. No one else may see your effort. No one else may know what you're doing, but we're not trying to seek the approval of man. We are trying to seek the approval of God, the one who gave his only begotten son so that you and I could be redeemed and have this new life once again. Keep doing what's good and don't give up. He that endures to the end is the one that will be saved. I'm going to close with this. I'm going to get ready to close. If you're mature in your faith, let me just say this to y'all. And I'm like Paul, I'm not knocking anybody. I'm not trying to cut anybody down. And so that don't take the spirit of offense. But you have to ask yourself, am I maturing in my faith? Am I still on the bottle? Am I still drinking milk? And if you are, there's no condemnation in Christ. But you have to realize that and you go, you know what? I've been sucking that nipple for 10 years now. It's about time I graduate up. It's about time I grow up and start acting mature. When I was a child, I thought like a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. And I'm just being really real with you because I love you. Some of you need to put away some childish things. Put away. Quit wanting everybody to serve you and start saying, how can I serve others? If we grow up in our faith, if you're here today and you look at your life, you go, you know, I'm really pretty. I'm not perfect, ain't got it figured out, but I'm an adult. And start looking around at other people, man. Because I guarantee you there's people in your life, sin's kicking their butt. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Go to them. Spirit of gentleness. Go to them in the spirit of love. The Bible says speak the truth in love and talk to them about it. Help them. How many of you know? So some of us are so scared to talk to somebody else about their struggles or their sins. What about this? What if God is really God, and what if God is really sovereign, and what if God is already moving on their hearts and softening their hearts and just waiting on someone like you or I to come along and bear witness to the goodness of God? What if that's all is holding them back, is you and I doing what Scripture tells us to do? I know it's hard. I know it's tough. If you're here today and you find yourself immature in your walk, you got to find some grown-ups to hang around with. You got to find some mature spiritual folks to hang around with to help you, to grow you up. My grandmother used to say, birds of a feather flock together. Come on, somebody. It's hard to soar with the eagles if you're hanging out down here with the buzzards. Can I get a witness? Bear one another's burdens. Who in your life, because I guarantee they're there, who's struggling to carry their cooler? Who do you need to go along beside and say, let me just help you a little bit? I got no expectations. I'm just going to help you a little bit. I want to help you bear your burdens. We'll serve others. Conrad, y'all, come help me close, please. Bear one another's burdens. Serve others. Help others. Serve them. Fulfill the law of Christ. Love God. Love others. Knowing that you will reap what you sow. Do not grow weary in well-doing. I want to go back, and here's going to be my challenge for you today. I'm going to go back to Galatians 6:10. It says, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to everyone. I want to challenge you this week to look for opportunities to just do good for somebody. Look for opportunities. Open your eyes. Look around. Just look. Can I do something good for my schoolmate? We started school back. You never know what some of your schoolmates are going through at home. You never know what kind of struggles they got. And it's easy to make fun and pick at and look down at your schoolmates. But maybe they just need somebody to come along that's a born-again believer and go, you know what? I have an opportunity. I'm just going to do good and help you out of this. I'm just going to do good to you. And look at our families. We so take our families for granted. Can I hear a good amen? Look for an opportunity to do good to your spouse this week. I know you're aggravated at them. Come on, somebody. I know they ain't doing what you want them to do, but just look for an opportunity to do good because you reap what you sow. Look. Look, kiddos. Look for an opportunity to do good to your parents this week. Look for an opportunity to do good to your parents and your grandparents. Look for an opportunity. Let's just do good. Just don't make it about me this week. I'm growing up. Starting to be mature, and I'm going to help people to be better and to be stronger and let them know how good God is. So y'all stand on your feet. I'm going to pray. Then we're going to close with a song of worship. Father, we just thank you for today, and we thank you for life, for loving us, Lord. We just know that you're the ultimate Savior, and you're the Redeemer, and you're the only reason that we have any chance at a different life, at a chance of being better and winning some victories and of some walls coming down. But Lord, we just want to take a moment, and I pray that you bring to remembrance everybody in this room, somebody that came along and talked to us when we were in a life of sin. When we made some sinful choices, and when we were living in the far country, and we were even living in the pig pen smelling like pig slop, somebody came along and they loved us. Somebody came along and they looked past our sin, and they looked past our struggles, and they looked past our pride, and they looked past our stinky attitudes, and they loved us. And they helped us bear some burdens. They just helped us pick it up. And they helped us walk it out. And it just brought a little bit of relief and help us to bring to remembrance those people that have helped us. And it's how we were walking and carrying that cooler together, we just got stronger. Thank you, Lord, for the people that have loved us and helped carry our burdens. Now, God, begin to move in our hearts and our minds and challenge us to do more than just say, I'm a believer. To do more than just show up for church, Lord, give us the spirit of servanthood. Give us a spirit. Give us spiritual eyes to look around, because there's people in every one of our lives that are hurting. They don't need to be beat up. They don't need to be judged. They just need to be loved and helped and served the way Christ served us, Lord. Let our mindset shift. Let our mindset change. Let us be willing to bear one another's burdens. And Lord, let us just keep doing good. When we feel like it ain't working, when we feel like we've given all, Lord, let us just keep giving and keep giving and keep giving, because we know we're doing it for you, and you're always going to promise to reward us. Speak to us, Father, as we close today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Come on, let's close with worship.
Darkness tremble in your holy light. That every eye will see Jesus our God. Great.